Morning, everybody. I'm one of the pastor elders here, and it's my privilege to bring the Word of God to you this morning, if briefly. We've heard the story of Jesus from the pages of Scripture. We've sung about why He came, and now for a short time, we're going to take a closer look at who He is. Please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who would soon face great persecution for their faith. They were in dire need of encouragement and strength, so the Holy Spirit moved the author of Hebrews to write a letter that would anchor their lives in the truth and that would sustain their faith even in the face of death. The stakes were high. So, what did he tell them? He told them about who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Why? Because knowing Christ is the most fundamentally important thing in this life. And we'll soon see why. Sadly, many people do not know Jesus. To many, he's just a harmless baby boy in some Christmas manger display. There's Mary. You know, we lost Joseph, so we found the most father-like shepherd and took away his crook, so he's kind of sitting in. There's some assorted animals. Here are the magi, but they don't get there for months, so they're like, I don't know, over here? I don't know why the camel's here, because she's with them. There's a bunch more. To many, he's just a harmless baby in some Christmas manger display, right? Born a long time ago, and that's about it. And they don't feel his claim on their life, because they've never understood who he is or what he came to do. They have no idea of how badly they need him, because they don't realize why they need him. And without him, they have no real hope in this life or the next. And that brings us to the main point of this sermon. What is it? You must know who Christ is. You must know who Christ is. Why? If you truly know who Jesus is, you know the one who gives eternal life. You will honor him as your owner and your creator. You will worship him as the God who sustains you. And you will trust in him alone to cleanse you from your sin. But if you don't recognize who Jesus is, you will miss God's life-saving message to you. You will not give Jesus your allegiance. You will not worship him as God. And you will turn away from the only one who can save you from God's wrath for your sins. The stakes couldn't be higher. You must know who Christ is. And the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1 will tell you why. So if you're able, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, just the first three verses. Here we go. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is God's word for you today. Let's pray. Father, please, in these few minutes, open your word to us. Cause us to see the glory of your Son. And by your Spirit, please cause us to tremble at his majesty and to rejoice at his redeeming grace so that we may truly worship him. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. So who is Jesus? Jesus is, number one, God's message to you. God's message to you. Look at verse 1 again. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke. Those two words help us to understand that the God of the universe is communicating with humanity in words. Words that we can understand. Why? Some truths require words to share. Certainly, God speaks through His creation. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 tells us that even the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above declares His handiwork, proclaims it. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So when we look up at the stars at night, and when we see the sun peeking through the clouds on a windy day, we instinctively know that there's a divine artist behind it all with the power to create all that we know in nature. Creation indeed shows us the reality that God exists, but it speaks without words. So what it can tell us is limited. Yet God wants us to know far more. And God has been communicating, He's been speaking in human language throughout history. Verse 1 again, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Long ago, in ages past, from the earliest moments of human history, God has been speaking to His creation, to humanity, to us. He spoke with our first father and mother in the Garden of Eden, yet they chose to disobey Him and sin against Him. And they died spiritually that day. And every child born to them inherited their sin-darkened nature, including you and me. But God, perfectly holy and separate from all sin, had mercy on sinful humanity and promised the coming of a future Savior. Since that time, God continued to speak to His people. And Hebrews reminds us that He's done it many times. In fact, the word many times you could translate as many portions, meaning that it indicates that each successive message that God gave to His people would build on those that went before, each message adding more supporting detail and clarity to those given previously, so that together they would all form a single unified picture of what God wanted us to know. God spoke in many times and in many ways through His prophets. His divinely enabled spokesman who would hear His words and, guided by God's Spirit, accurately share God's truth with His people. We've already heard from several of them tonight. Isaiah, Zechariah, Micah. And they all spoke about the coming Messiah, the one who would save His people from their sins. And God gave His prophets His word to speak in many ways. They heard God's word in dreams, in visions, in angels, in a thunderous voice on Mount Sinai one time, in a still small voice one other time, and even through the lips of a donkey another time. And God caused those prophets to write His words in the Bible for future generations to read, for us to read today. Yet there was still a greater message to follow. And it wouldn't be delivered by a prophet, but by His only divine Son, who Himself was God's greatest message. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In these last days points to the fact that human history as we know it is coming to a conclusion. That adds a note of urgency. God is telling us something we really need to know, and we need to know it now, because time is limited for us to hear it and to respond. And He's speaking to us through His Son. God is speaking through His Son, and the message is about how sinners like you and like me can be saved from condemnation through faith in the same Son of God. Are you willing to listen to His message? Jesus said in John 3, 16 through 18, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Jesus is God's message to you. To hear that message, believe in Christ, and be saved, you must know who Christ is. You must. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's message to you. But he's also the heir and creator of everything. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophet, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. God the Father created, he made the world through Christ. And the Greek word translated world here is an unusual word. It usually means ages, but here it refers to, it's actually plural. It refers to not just our world, but everything that was created in time, the entire universe. Which means that Jesus existed before creation in fellowship with God the Father himself, being fully divine, and the Father's creation was made through Christ, which is exactly what John 1:3 tells us. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Christ is the creator of everything that exists, including you and me. So it comes as no surprise that God the Father also designated Jesus as the inheritor of everything that he made. Christ is the owner of the creation he created, including you and me. And the day is coming when he will return to earth to rule and reign over all. Christ is the heir and creator of everything, which means that he made you and he owns you. You owe him your allegiance. We are all accountable to Christ. Do you know your Maker? Do you know your Maker? You must know who Christ is. Who is Jesus? He is God's message to you. He is the heir and creator of everything, and he is also God and sustainer of everything. Look at verse 3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Light radiates from the sun in the sky. Why? Because it's the nature of the sun to radiate light. And in a similar way, Jesus radiates the glory of God the Father because he is truly God himself. God's glory is the manifestation of his nature. And Christ shares the Father's nature. And the glory of God the Father is made known to humanity through Christ. He reveals the Father to us. God is speaking through him. And that's why John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God," referring to God the Father, "the only God," referring to Jesus, "who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Christ manifests the Father's nature, and we most clearly understand what God the Father is like by observing and listening to Jesus. Why? Because he is the exact imprint of his nature. He represents the Father's nature fully, completely. Why? Because he is also truly God. And because he's truly divine, Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe. He sustains all things. Everything that Jesus created since the beginning of time remains. Why? Because his all-powerful word causes it to be so. And the Greek word translated word here actually refers to a spoken word. Not just something written, not just something imagined, but spoken. Which means that the sun continues to rise, the rain continues to fall, the ocean remains within its boundaries, the seasons continue to turn. Why? Because Christ not only spoke them into existence, but he continues to speak them into continuation. The very atoms which make up everything you and I have ever known, including ourselves, would cease to cohere and disappear without Christ's ongoing word of power to sustain them. You and I continue to exist today because Christ sustains our being. Even if you don't know him yet, that is true. Do you know the one who sustains you? He's holding you together right now so that you might hear this message. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's message to you. He's the heir and creator of everything. He's the God and sustainer of everything. And last, he is the Lord who is able to cleanse you. The Lord who is able to cleanse you. Now we see God's purpose in sending his son to earth. Jesus came, it says, to make purification for sins. Let me read it. After making purification for sins, verse 3, the second half, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus came to make purification for sins. Purification here refers to cleansing people from the inward pollution of their sinfulness. Not just outward cleansing, inward cleansing. Why is this necessary? Because God is holy. And all of humanity is enslaved to our sinful natures. God stands apart from all that is sinful because all sins oppose his holy nature. Every time you and I have broken God's law with our unjust anger, our covetous desires, or lustful longings, we assaulted the very character of God. And because God is also perfectly just, he must justly punish sin. He cannot overlook it, because to do so would violate his righteous nature. He will never do that. And we are all guilty of sin. All have sinned and all stand guilty before God. And the sentence we've earned from God for our sin is eternal death. And yet the same God who cannot abide sin sent his son to save sinners like you and me. Why? Because he's also a God of mercy. Way back at Exodus chapter 34, 6 through 7, the Lord revealed himself to Moses with these words, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. God is merciful and forgives sin, but we are guilty before him because of our sin. And God will not clear the guilty. And that's why Christ came to make purification for our sins, to truly cleanse us from the inside out and remove the guilt of our sin so that we might be forgiven and declared truly righteousness by the righteousness of Christ. How? How? How can this be? The divine Son of God took on a human nature. While remaining truly God, he humbled himself and became truly man. Born as a baby in Bethlehem through the power of the Holy Spirit, he took on a human nature and lived as a man in complete obedience to all of God's laws, which you and I have repeatedly broken. And for 33 years, Jesus perfectly fulfilled every single commandment, actively and passively. And so that he did this as a perfect man, so that he could offer himself in place of guilty sinners like you and me, and willingly receive all of God's eternal wrath upon himself for the sins of all who would ever trust him. See, only as God could he withstand the wrath of God, and only as man could he die in the place of sinners. Jesus is truly God and truly man. And in his sacrifice, the fullness of God's glory was on display. God displayed his holy justice against sin and his mercies for sinners in Christ on the cross. The radiance of the glory of God shines brightest in Christ's crucifixion. And Christ in the cradle promises the cross. Jesus gave up his life to pay the penalty we deserved and to remove our guilt before God and to give us his righteousness, his perfect righteousness as a gift so that we might receive the forgiveness and the steadfast love of the Father through faith in Christ. And after making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. After his once for all sacrifice, burial, and resurrection, Jesus returned to heaven and sat down. His work to save sinners, over, done, completed for all time. He sat down at the right place of the highest authority, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, which is another way of saying his Father in heaven. And now he awaits the time when he will return to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Hebrews 9:28. And those who wait for him are those who have faith in him. And he's cleansed them from the guilt of their sin. Has your guilt for your sin been cleansed by Jesus? Jesus is the Lord who is able to cleanse you too. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's message to you. God sent his Son to save sinners like you and me. Jesus is the heir and the creator of everything. He made you. You owe him everything. You owe him your allegiance and you are responsible to him. He is the God and sustainer of everything. Jesus sustains your life even now so you can hear this message. And he offers you eternal life through the gospel. And he is the Lord who is able to cleanse you. He took the sins of all who would ever trust him and satisfied the Father's wrath in their place. Now you know who Christ is. Now you know about Jesus. But there is an even more important question that you got to answer. Do you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Do you know him? All who humble themselves and reject their sinful ways and turn to Christ in faith, believing that God raised him from the dead and confessing him as Savior and following him as Lord, will be saved. Full stop. That's the message of God the Father through Jesus. Jesus said it this way, I'll repeat it, in John 3:17-18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Have you turned from your sin to faith in Christ? If so, you truly know Jesus and you know what Christmas is really about. If you've turned to him, you know him as the one who gives you eternal life. He's as your owner and your creator, as the God who sustains you. And you know that he's cleansed you from your sin and continues to do so. I pray that you all know Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much for humbling yourself and becoming human, taking on the form of a servant and becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross, to save sinners like us. How can we say thank you for such a sacrifice? Human words do not suffice, but we say thank you anyway, and we give you ourselves. Please help us to tell others about you so that they might know you too. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.